This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com and the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 89, the awesomest of awesome events ever awesomely possible. Hello again, everyone. You found it. We're back. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 89. Take two. I am Ken Denby, editor of GeekDad.com, and I am joined tonight by the core editorial team of GeekDad.com, Mr. Jonathan Liu and Mr. Matt Blum, and there they are on screen. Hi, guys. How are we doing tonight, Jonathan?
Hey, good. Good. Still here.
Still here. So are we.
200 miles away from the nearest Ben and Jerry's.
such a sad story. I tell you, it was free ice cream day today, and you missed it.
I missed it.
It wasn't worth 8 gallons of gas at $4 a gallon to drive.
No.
Golly, no.
Awesome. And hello, Matt. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How are you?
Getting by here. Things are busy in the Geek Dad universe.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. In many ways. We've mentioned them a little bit. We'll talk some more tonight about what's coming up in the next few weeks, next couple of months. It's pretty amazing. And I was going to point out this really awesome feature that we're seeing in Skype. I think we're up to 5.2, the video feed. Every time one of you guys talks, there's this little glowy white aura around your windows. So Skype has gotten very smart, and it tells when you've got an audio signal coming through. So it's kind of awesome. Yep, see? There it goes. Now you're just going to mess with it. I know. So, probably before we get started, let's quickly do a big thank you to our sponsor, the grand folks at maphook.com. If you've listened before, you've heard us say it before, but we will say it again because they're so awesome. Maphook is a location-based social network that lets you create digital memories. Pictures, reviews, comments, and more. Tag them, and often with some very geeky tags. You can tag them, geolocate them, and share them with whomever you want. You can keep them private, you can share them just with friends, or you can share them with everybody on the whole darn internet. And you can create and view hooks with their iPhone app or on their website, and you can collect these hooks into what they call a story. And then share that story with people, and people can follow along as you maybe go on a trip, maybe take your kids on college. I don't know. How about college? Checking out colleges before they go in, stuff like that. I used it, as some of you know, a couple of months ago on my birthday. We went wine tasting, and I created hooks at every one of the wineries that we stopped at. And I put a little review in. I took pictures from the wineries, and it seemed like an awesome use of the tool. So we've actually possibly going to do some neato things with the Maphook people coming up soon, connected to maybe PAX Prime, maybe San Diego Comic-Con, maybe Maker Faire. I don't know yet. Hopefully will. I might even do something connected to the release of my book. So that could be really nifty. But that's pretty much it. We just want to thank them so much for supporting the Geek Dad podcast. Check them out, maphook.com, and the Maphook app in the iPhone App Store. Thanks so much. So let's hunker down here. The geeky news of the week. What do we got? What do we got? Interesting stuff.
There's the multiple important anniversaries.
Yes, today. Spacey anniversaries today,
and one non. But yes.
Yeah. Well.
Yes, today's the 30th anniversary of the first space shuttle. And the 50th anniversary of the first human being in space.
As I quickly whip through the pictures on the video. The 30th anniversary being the first flight of the Columbia, the space shuttle Columbia, and the big one being Yuri Gagarin's first trip around the planet.
Right. Which, now actually, Columbia was actually supposed to take off several days earlier, so it wasn't like they actually timed it to be on the same day.
Oh, sure. That's what they say. But.
Well, I know because See, my birthday was 2 days ago, and when
did you get the cake we sent?
No,
you didn't. Oh no, Jonathan, what did you do wrong?
I guess my internet connection doesn't handle baked goods very well.
I'm sorry, Matt. Actually, I'll admit it. The cake is a lie.
My browser accepts cookies.
Close enough. All right. That was just really a bad setup right there. Oh, yeah.
I had to go there. But I remember being in elementary school in 1981 and on my birthday and watching the space shuttle sit on the pad and not take off.
And not take off.
Yeah. I mean, I vividly remember it because it was my birthday, you know. So... And then it did, in fact, go up 2 days later. So
that's very cool. I was reading all the stories. A lot of people in Moscow for the celebration today.
Oh, yeah.
So like a couple of people from Boing Boing and such, I think, were there. And, you know, it's come to be something moderately well celebrated on the sort of geek community online and stuff. And there are Yuri Night parties around the United States and around the world. But, I mean, it sounds like big time still. In Russia, it has always been and continues to be just one of the major milestones and sources of pride for them.
Sure, as it should be, I guess. Yeah, I don't. Certainly can't begrudge them. I mean, obviously, it's a very different country now than it was then.
Exactly.
But still, yeah. I mean, they made it there first. You know, they sent Sputnik up first. They did that first, and. You know, then you know, we certainly beat them to the moon. But
right.
Of course, I mean they never actually made it to the moon. So.
I love the story that first the first flight around, even you know there was no setup for the landing. There was like no deployable chutes on the capsule that Gagarin was on. He actually, as it came down through the atmosphere, had to jump out and then parachute down himself. How much more, you know, rock and roll can you get?
And then he landed like in a farm in the middle of nowhere, and you know he steps out in his big orange flight suit and scares the bejesus out of people.
Wake up in peace.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like that, like Back to the Future, you know.
Yeah.
What's Nanu Nanu in Russian? Or live long and prosper.
It's before by the time of both of those, though. You know, so you would have had to invent them.
Technicalities.
And, of course, cool. On the much less geeky side, it's also the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the American Civil War.
Yeah, that's something to celebrate.
Well, it's...
It's an event. It's important.
Fairly important event in American history. It's a, I mean, ever so slightly important. I mean.
Yes. And it's still being fought today.
Yeah, well, I live in Virginia. Tell me about it.
Okay, moving on.
There are high schools in my kids, you know, the school system my kids go to school in, names that are still there, named after Jeb Stuart and Robert E. Lee.
Yep. Well, they're cultural icons.
Uh-huh. Yep, traitors, yep. Too, but, you know.
Tomato, tomato. I've heard it both ways.
Yes.
We are not going to debate the Civil War here.
No.
Well, awesome. What else? I know... Anton's posting. He's off down to Florida for the Vex Robotics World Championships.
Indeed.
Yep.
Which is very cool.
Which ought to be really cool. In fact, we got a neato little video today. We sort of got the co-announcement of that Kerry Byron was going to be emceeing.
Yes. It's definitely cool.
So hopefully she'll wear her Geek Mom shirt. And
that would be awesome.
Probably not. Who's crinkling in the background?
Oh, that's Robin. Sorry.
We can hear you.
Did you happen to catch Adam and Jamie on the Colbert Report last night?
No. How did that go?
Oh, it was awesome. Although Jamie got only like two words in. Adam physically talked the rest of the time. But Adam was also live tweeting during it. While he was, you know, he was tweeting while it was
while he was on the air.
Of course, they he was tweeting it while it was on the air, and so he apologized to Jamie. Adam actually also screwed up the promoing next week's show. Like, he mentioned something that they did last season. And like, this is coming up next week. It's like, no, you did that last season. He says, here's where I screw up.
Oh, man. Darn it, Catherine's not in the chat room tonight. We can't tease her about that.
But but it was fun. Colbert, you know, suggesting that they I'm trying to remember what he suggested that they try. Oh yeah, he just testing whether it is or is not a bad thing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. He suggested that. Oh yes, and whether early to bed, early to wise does actually make you healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Gotcha. No, it's funny. We were watching last night, like the episode before last of Bones, and there were like two things on it where I went, "Oh my god, they've got to do that! They got to try that on MythBusters." Like one was literally pulling scotch tape, so doing something with scotch tape that generates a current and making a strong enough like little electrical spark current that would generate enough x-rays to that they did it through a bone into film so that you could actually do an x-ray just by yanking scotch tape across something over unexposed film.
That seems somewhat implausible.
Take a lot of scotch tape.
Yeah, it was like they had like eight rolls of it, and it was in I don't know if it was in a vacuum chamber or not, or it was at least enclosed, and like he yanked them all at once. There was this big spark, and then it was like Polaroid film, and they opened it up, and you could each piece of the Polaroid film had one little section of the bone. And it had, I don't know. See, I think that one needs testing.
I have my doubts.
You have your doubts. And then the other one was they took like 200 potatoes in both parallel and series to charge up to try and restart a cell phone whose battery had died, and the power in the place was out. So this was their backup plan to try and find
But they had plenty of potatoes and electrodes to put in them.
Yes, because they went down to the cafeteria.
Oh, of course.
And got all the potatoes out of the cafeteria.
Now, see, that actually, I mean, there is, you can get generate some electrical power from a potato.
Right, right.
That's
right.
At least valid, but x-rays from a piece of scotch tape, I don't think so.
I don't know, you know? I mean, it's a scientific procedural. There's got to be something there.
Well, actually.
Oh, so you're looking it up now, aren't you?
I am looking it up, yeah. Oh, actually? Yeah, okay. Sort of.
What's it say?
It's actually on Wired Science from...
Then it has to be true.
2008. Odds are a couple of guys at UCLA who built a machine for unpeeling sticky tape in a vacuum.
Okay.
At the rate of 3 centimeters per second. It's pretty quick, I would say. Well, maybe not. Fresh purpose of generating x-rays.
Ha ha ha. See?
It is very question is, yes, the electrical currents, surprisingly fierce flows of electrons were unleashed as the tape was unpeeled. Electrical currents in turn generated strong short bursts of x-rays, each burst about a billionth of a second long. Contained about 300,000 X-ray photons, which is, Well, they do say it was that the X-rays were bright enough to take an X-ray of a finger, but yeah.
What were they X-raying on bones?
It was like a femur.
Yeah, probably not.
But they had put eight or ten like rolls of tape.
And were they doing it in a vacuum?
In a vacuum box.
They were.
And they had the bone laid lengthwise, and they had four pieces of like Polaroid film sitting under it. And they went,
Yank. Polaroid film, though?
Yes.
I don't think Polaroid film is sensitive to X-rays.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was some kind of special X-ray film, then. I don't know.
Yeah, because you have to, I mean, you can't just use any kind of film in an X-ray machine.
Okay. It was film. That's as far as I'll go. It was film. And it looked like little Polaroids. But so there you go.
All right. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind for next time I need to do an X-ray of something.
Yeah. So don't say you never learned something on the Geek Dad podcast.
Yeah. It's from watching TV.
And from watching TV. You know, there's... Yep.
So that means if you're in a vacuum, be really careful
pulling tape.
Because it's not good to be exposed to X-rays all the time. I mean, really.
Somehow I think that if you're in a vacuum, the X-rays that you get off of pulling tape are going to be the least of your worries right at that moment, you know?
That's probably true.
Okay. Awesome.
Something to keep in mind.
Something, food for thought. All right. One thing that I saw that I thought was cool today, because I am such a geek about this and I'm so looking forward to this, and that is that Mr. Peter Jackson, currently filming the Hobbit prequels,
yay,
is filming them at 48 frames per second.
And showing them at 48 frames per second.
And hopefully we'll be showing them. He's, you know, obviously they've got they're hoping that there will be enough theaters to do that. So what does this mean? That's the sort of the hue and cry goes out. What does this mean?
Well, I think the main reason they did it is because they're shooting at 3D, so that there'll be less
artifacting and
there'll be less artifacting, so that people will be less likely to get a headache from it.
Yeah, it'll be much smoother. It will be a little bit like some people claim complain about it, but you know how TVs do 120 or 240 hertz refresh rates.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has, and what that tends to do is it really dramatically smooths down the motion. It makes it a little bit video like. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a not quite hyper realism to them, but an increased sense of realism to it. So there's some sense that will happen with this. I mean, it also gives them a lot of more flexibility with playing with the timing of the film. I mean, if you recall in Lord of the Rings, there were a couple of scenes, most notably in my head when Galadriel was speaking once or twice, and you had this very out of time sort of sense of her speaking very slowly, but it didn't look like she was in slow motion. And that was them playing with film speed a little bit. And obviously, you know, if you want to do like super slow-mo, what you do is you actually film at a higher frame rate. And then bring it down. The eye works at about 24 frames per second is where the standard was set so long ago, for many reasons. If you do a much higher frame rate, then I mean all the high speed stuff that you see on MythBusters is, you know, they're shooting their digital video at probably 120 frames. I don't know how, but very fast. And that gives you the ability to slow it way down without, when you're watching it, being able to see the cut from frame to frame. It still looks like completely smooth video, just slowed way down. So they'll have some flexibility with that, but playing it at normal speed, it's going to look much smoother, much cleaner. So I sort of liken Peter Jackson to James Cameron and his, you know, always pushing the boundaries of the technical side of things.
Only without the ego.
But yeah, exactly. That's why I was adding the caveat. I had not gotten to my caveat yet, but yes.
It's an important one.
It's a very important caveat.
Because James Cameron is insufferable.
He's the king of the world. I mean, what are you going to do?
He's done brilliant things, but he's not as brilliant as he thinks they are. That's the key.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah. Oh, Data Rocks in the chat room says 320 frames per second.
Oh, it's what's that for slow-mo on Mythbusters?
Or for slow motions, yeah.
Got it. Thank you, Data Rocks. Yeah, I know. Unless it was answered in the chat room, Dada, the setup for the whole technical setup here is the phone call is on Skype. The video broadcast is on Ustream, actually using the Ustream Producer Pro software. And then I think Jenny mentioned or whomever. Actually, I'm interfacing the two simply with screen capture. The Ustream Producer Pro comes with a screen capture thing. So. Screen capture. So one of my shots here is the screen capture of, you know, like a 640 by 480 window where my Skype window is sitting. So it is sort of a hacked together solution, but it is, you know, an inexpensively hacked together solution, which is nice. I can do. But so the title stuff is kind of cool, and I can like play with it and go. Dramatic camera change. And then back. Yeah. So only because I'm running this through, I've got a monitor here and then I've got my laptop over here and they both have cameras in them, so it's kind of silly. But anyway. Oh, that's a good point. I'll break it down in post, maybe I will. That would be good. Because yeah, I think I'm sort of like getting around stuff. You know, I could go out and probably spend $300 or $500 to get stuff that I actually did this the right way, but
that wouldn't be the DIY,
that wouldn't be the cool way. Hacky geeky way to do it. Yeah. All right. Any other geeky news, guys, or should we move on?
I don't have much.
Yeah, the only other thing that I saw that was of any interest real to me was that Cisco's terminating the flip line of the video cameras.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was you could see that coming from a technical standpoint. I mean, everybody had sort of hoped that when Cisco bought Flip, that Cisco had some kind of plan to, you know, continue the line and add their own networking foo into it, but no.
No, they really didn't.
Worse than that. Very sad. Very sad. So that was that news. Did anyone hear there was supposed to be, or maybe it's too early, there's supposed to be some sort of big Final Cut Pro announcement tonight at the NAB conference is going on, and supposedly the big Final Cut Pro get together. Yeah, it probably started at 7, so nothing's getting out of it right now. But
yeah, I'm not seeing anything coming across.
Oh, folks are saying in the chat room that that I'm pausing for people. That, well. Oh, and look, yeah. It's disconnected from the server again. Well, I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping the audio podcast this time.
Yes. All right.
We're just not going to get a full video podcast this time.
Nope, it's coming back though. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything about Final Cut Pro coming across on Google News.
So. Okay, keep an eye out for it. There's some hypothesis that everybody's sort of salivating about is they might go with Final Cut Pro like they did with the iWork suite and with Aperture, and dramatically. Cut the price and put it on the app store, on the Mac App Store, and turn it into much more of a prosumer tool than a straight pro tool. But who knows? only of interest to us Mac heads. But, there, did you guys in the chat room? You can see us again. What happened? It somehow the Ustream broadcast server dropped us again. So apologies, and there's not going to be a good not going to be a good video recording tonight, I'm afraid.
Oh, we actually were just talking about
that. We were just talking about that, Datarox. Yeah. The long and the short of it was we had all hoped that Cisco knew what they were doing when they bought Flip. Turns out, no, they didn't. And they didn't even try to keep it going after both the cheap handheld digital cameras started showing really good video and all of the phones started showing really good video, so that you no longer needed a dedicated video device.
Yeah, exactly.
At least not in that price range. So,
you know, and my wife and I had like one of the original Flip cameras, but then, you know, when I upgraded to the iPhone 4, it was like, we don't need to get a better video camera. Cause exactly. This does it just as well or better than most of the ones we could afford anyway. So
I mean, unfortunately, Jenny just mentioned that her dad had just given the kids a Flip camera. Basically, what all of the, you know, the Canons and everything like that and all the videos in the phones did was they took out those potential markets and then just shot down to, you know, it's a phone to give the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, a camera, a video camera to give the kids, because anybody else probably has either a smartphone or some sort of little Canon point and shoot. So I do not know how well this video broadcast is going to do tonight. It's not playing well. So yeah. Apologies to everyone there. I mean, I'm not seeing, you know, the bandwidth is looking pretty solid all the way through. So I don't know. All right. Well, let's get on to some posts of the week, and then we can talk a little bit about upcoming Geek Dad stuff. So, Jonathan or Matt? Jonathan?
Oh yeah, don't start with me.
Matt.
sure. What was I going to do? I was going to do Jonathan's post about how to be a pedant.
No, you were going to do the post about how to be a pedant. Say it correctly.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's not how to do it.
it's pedant is actually proper. But anyway.
I know. I was just being difficult. All right.
Oh, okay. But I'm being a pedant and pointing out that pedant isn't
so that, I was being a pedant by just pointing out that I was trying to be difficult. Exactly. And now I'm being a pedant by pointing out that I was pointing out. Never mind.
Nah, we keep this up all night. But no, I really enjoyed it because I feel I'm exactly the same way. I refer to it as compulsive editing. Like, I see something that I know is wrong, and I physically feel compelled to fix it, even if it's not necessary that I do that at the time, or it, you know.
Do you check your front door to make sure it's locked more than 3 times when you leave the house?
No.
Okay. No.
Right. Just checking.
No, this is really the only place where I've got that I can think of off the top of my head anyway. It's, you know, but it's really bad.
Wait, like, let's ask your wife. There's probably more.
I think she already went to bed. But, like, I'll be like walking past, like my wife will be like writing something online, and I won't even be like trying to like look over her shoulder or do anything because I know that annoys her as well as it should. But I'll just sort of see out of the corner of my eye something that I'm pretty sure was either misspelled or you used something incorrect. And it's so hard for me to stop myself from saying something. I've gotten to the point where I can, fortunately, because you know, otherwise she'd probably kill me. But it's tough. It's really tough because it's wrong. You know?
Do you think that this could be classified as a geeky trait?
In some cases, but it's not. I mean, not all geeks. are grammar geeks. That's in fact, true. You know, I mean, if you are primarily a math and science geek, chances are you are not an English grammar, you know.
Well, yeah, well, in the broader sense, not specifically the grammatical stuff, but correcting people, being pedantic.
Being well, yeah. Wanting to be right.
Yeah, I think that's fairly typical of geeks, yeah.
Yeah. Wanting to be right and wanting to make sure that everyone else knows what is correct. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that is definitely a geeky quality. I mean, you look at, you know, XKCD and what they do, and, you know, a lot of that is, you know, being pedantic or didactic. I mean, just, you know, being able to say, hey, look, let me show you that you don't need to do things this way.
There are keyboard shortcuts for that. Dang it. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I think it is definitely where people keep up the argument even after it's just not necessary to keep arguing the points anymore. When the only thing that you're going to do is just explain something to somebody who doesn't actually need something needed explained to them because it's not really that big a deal, but just explain it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I catch myself doing that all the time.
My worst is wanting desperately to correct people when they misuse idioms.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, I can't stand it when people say I could care less.
Not even that, because that one's almost, you know.
Yeah,
I'm trying to come up with a good example off the top of my head, but jibe or no? Oh, well, obviously, you know, the classic is mute versus moot.
Oh.
Well, those are, yeah. I mean, that's not an idiom.
That's not an idiom.
That's just using the wrong word.
Yeah, right.
It's a malapropism.
Yeah,
that's true.
I had some examples of those in that comics or serious literature one where, you know, there are a couple of words like, well, no, it's just they just wrote the wrong word. It's very similar. But it's the wrong one, you know. And
oh, yeah,
well, yeah. How about yeah, they're on the wrong tact. And it's tack.
Yeah,
as in tacking for a sailboat. But
oh yeah, there's another one that.
Or jibe. Everyone always likes to say jive. Those two things do not jive, and it's not. It's jibe,
right?
But yeah,
it is.
Dang it! People get it right.
I had a very small selection for my business cards, but you know, I tried to address some of my own pet peeves.
Well, there we go. Mist and midst. We're in the mist of the situation. No, it's not that foggy. Yeah. Gorilla's in the midst. No, it was the other way around, wasn't it? She was in the midst of the gorillas who are in the mist.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But and there's always the the other words like accept and accept.
Yes.
A-C-C-N-E-X-E. Affect and effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except that then people started using effect as a verb.
Well, effect is a verb. It just doesn't mean the same thing.
Right. Right. Like, but then they started
effect
using
a change.
Right. But that's still a sort of a verbed word.
I think that's been around for a while.
Yeah. And
somebody better look it up now.
Yeah. And dialogue, and you know,
what drives me nuts too is principal
and principal. You
know, yeah, principal. It's
the
like,
principal is your pal. That's how you know.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, yep. But people who use when they mean principal, like the principal of the school, but it's spelled that way. But they mean the adjective,
right?
And they use principal. It's like no, that's a noun. It is never an adjective. Never. Ever, ever, ever.
I want to thank everyone. This has been Rantcast, episode number one.
Next week, we'll be addressing apostrophe use.
This has been Grammar Girl. Yeah. No way.
Capital and capital. Yes. Very good job. Oh, God, yes. Absolutely.
But that was, you know, of course, and of course I did have, you know, some punctuation or grammar errors in the in my post complaining about grammar errors, but that's inevitable.
The effect being EFFECT being used as a verb, according to the Online Etymology Dictionary, is from the 1580s.
So neener, neener, neener.
So it's been around.
Yeah. Okay.
Point blum. Mr. Liu, care to rebut?
No.
Oh, and what also drives me nuts is lie and lay. Can't stand that. No, you did not lay down on the bed. Unless you are a chicken. You did not lay down on the bed.
Anyway. I don't lay me down before I sleep.
Well, that would be different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's different. Because lay is something you do to something.
Lay lady lay.
Lay is a transitive verb. You have to.
Yeah.
Lie is intransitive.
So. I suppose you could say lay me down.
Yes, you could. But,
yeah.
But again, because that's a transitive.
But you don't lay down. You lie exactly. Down.
Right. That's intransitive. Precisely.
All right. Well, have we beaten
one of the
guys? Hello. Is there anyone left in the chat room? I don't think so. Oh, awesome. All right. I was going to do a post of the week. I was going to do one of my posts just because I wanted to highlight this because it was so very cool having actually gotten to meet the young gentleman doing this. There's a little picture up on the video screen. So these guys, Evan and Michael, were sort of on sabbatical from having been working on a little startup having to do with software for law firms that wasn't working out very well. And they decided to try and create a trebuchet kit that they could have cut out on a laser CNC. And they did it, basically. It's a flat pack, snap together trebuchet that they are basically, they've got a Kickstarter campaign going, trying to turn this into a small business. We'll probably see the guys at Maker Fair, which is coming up, but I got to go meet them. And literally, and there's another one for the pet ends, actually using literally. I mean, literally. They brought one with them unassembled, and I was able to put it together in 15 minutes from it basically being a single piece of wood with just all the cutouts in it, snap them out, put it together, and then it comes with the weights, comes with the pins for the fulcrums and the pouch, and they had like what am I trying to think? The line was very thin and lightweight. It's the bulletproof vest stuff.
Kevlar?
Oh. Yeah, I think it was a Kevlar thread. So it's very strong, but extremely thin and light. And, it's cool. I mean, this thing, you know, at this size, it's intended to be like a desktop trebuchet. So it'll launch like a Super Bowl 40 feet. Not huge weight, just the very concept of it is very, very, very cool. And I totally want to see them like magnify this and, you know, be able to go out and buy a 4x8 sheet of plywood that's had this cut out and snap together your own like 4 foot tall trebuchet or go even bigger. It would be really neat. So, and also,
how big is that one? How big is it there?
It's about 18 inches tall when you see it fully assembled. Okay. as I said, it'll launch like 3 or 4 ounces, mm-hmm. 40 or so feet, something like that.
And
so what they're doing with the Kickstarter campaign, both both trying to get things going as a little business, but they're also going to, depending upon how much you give them, or you can even just donate, they are coordinating getting, they're going to write up some curricula to go with this, and donate batches and batches of these to schools for physics classes. Very cool. To use. So
that's pretty cool.
If you're coming to Maker Faire in May, stop by the Geek Dad booth. I'm going to try and have mine with me there. And I guess the guys have gotten themselves a booth at Maker Faire too, so you should be able to pick yourself up one of these when you're there, or at least take a look at them. I'm not sure where the Kickstarter campaign is going right now, but we'll see it. Speaking of Kickstarter, I want to bring up one other thing. It just occurred to me to do this. Since the guy had actually tweeted, I was very honored when I got a tweet from this guy who was basically calling out to all the people he considered geeks of note online. And basically he emailed, or he tweeted, Adam Savage, Mark Frauenfelder of Make Magazine, and me. I thought that was really neat. Anyway, what this guy is doing is he has started a Kickstarter campaign. He believes that the project that the U.S. needs to pursue and build to bring us together as a culture and a nation is our own full-scale working AT-AT. and if you go, okay. the site right now is at for America, one word, ATATFORAMERICA .tumblr.com. And what's funny is so he had like tweeted this a few days ago, and we'd back and forth, and basically I was waiting to post about it until he got accepted by Kickstarter, and they're working on getting the Kickstarter page up for this. So I was waiting until the Kickstarter page was up. But it got picked up by Attack of the Show and Boing Boing and a whole bunch of other sites today. So I'll probably go ahead and post about it tomorrow. It's getting press. People are putting in money on this. Hopefully the brains are going to get behind it and probably maybe actually build this thing.
it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, maybe now is the time if get one measly little... You know, for the cost of what they're saving on that silly extra engine for the F-22 that they're discontinuing the project for, hey, let's build some AT-ATs.
Yeah, what the heck? Schools don't need money.
We could totally dominate the world with AT-ATs. All right. we could finally clean up the rebel scum.
Our continent, anyway. It's good luck getting one of these. Overseas.
as long as there isn't like a steel,
right?
Because then we're just screwed,
right?
Or some guy with a cable
and a lightsaber. Some guy with a lightsaber and a grenade.
You know? Yeah, there's that right. Problem. That sort of everybody already knows how you defeat an AT-AT one-on-one.
This is true.
First, be a Jedi.
Yeah.
Second,
well, I just always thought the idea was like, okay, you're attacking an ice world, ice slippery, maybe things with legs not the best, attack vehicles, I don't know, but anyway,
all terrain armored transport, all terrain.
Yeah. Yes, I know what this says.
Yeah,
but can you imagine those, say, on Endor?
Well, they had the mini ones on Endor. They had the two-legged ones. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the two-legged ones are a lot more maneuverable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can smash them with logs.
Yes, apparently you can.
Well, I don't know.
If you're a whole horde of small furry creatures.
Well, you know, here's just hoping that, you know, we can get this built. I mean, that would be awesome for, like, Maker Faire next year, right?
Oh, it would be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm just saying ad-ads do have certain limitations.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like...
They're a little top-heavy,
like, too. Just like the Daleks. Like Daleks. Right. Daleks and stairs, you know. It's just...
Yeah. And N209 had trouble with stairs, too. Speaking of, you know, Kickstarter campaigns, right. There was the RoboCop statue. That right. one got funded.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, RoboCop statue is probably a lot cheaper to build than a working ad-at.
Fully functional ad-at, yeah.
Well, sure. Statues by nature stay in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was cool. Jonathan, you got anything you want to do?
Oh, no, just... Give over. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I feel like we've done in the past 2 weeks. It's been really cool, but you know, I feel like just in general, I'm in love with Kickstarter. I mean, I feel like there's all sorts of stuff on there that, you know, it's like, this is great. Like, why didn't someone think of this sooner? I want to give them money. And I've supported, you know, a lot of different board games, and there was that Coffee Julie's thing mm-hmm. that Anton wrote up. Which I think is a really cool use of phase change material.
Yeah, I'm waiting for mine to show up now because I put in $40 on that one.
Yeah, so. And you know, but I just think, I mean, it's sort of in conjunction with the, you know, maker culture and the idea that, you know, it's easy to manufacture things, design something, and have it, you know, come to fruition. And now that you've got Kickstarter, you've got the funding, you know, it's maker funding. Like, here you go. You know, let's crowdsource it. And you know who your audience is. You know, if you've got a big enough audience for something, for a product before you go into it.
Right.
Which I think is just a really cool way to do things. So.
Right. And if you don't get enough funding, then nobody pays any money and you're not obligated to anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's, you know, I love the way that works. And I mean, that Coffee Julie's thing was funny because they were trying to raise like $9,000 and they were up to, you know, last I checked, it was like 80,000.
They're at about 145,000 right now.
Okay. So, yeah. So that was, you know,
they hit the sweet spot for a lot of people.
And they've got 19 days left on their funding period still. Yeah.
That's going to make some manufacturers sit up real quick and say, look, these people already have pre-sales. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah. It's 1,524% funded, the site says.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's great. So, all right, anyway, guys. So. Awesome. All right, then let's wrap this up with a little talk about what's coming up real soon. We've mentioned a few of these things previously. I don't know if we get any updates. First thing is Maker Faire coming up the third weekend in May, which, again, is going to be the awesomest of awesome events ever awesomely possible. And there will be a huge Geek Dad booth there. And
Geek Mom.
And Geek Mom. It will be a joint Geek Dad Geek Mom booth. There will be electronics, there will be Lego building, there will be Vex robots, there will be DIY drones, hopefully some electronic music gadgets, there will be Geek Dad swag and merch, as it were. And then, you know, all the rest of Maker Faire too. Just if you're interested in that kind of thing. Hopefully, I think...
And board games.
Yeah, we're going to do a game table too. We're collecting a bunch of games. We're going to have games. Hopefully, I need to go bug John Kovalik some more to keep it in his forebrain about getting a bunch of stuff from Steve Jackson games.
Yes.
And out of the box. And out of the box.
As long as he's had it. Since
yeah. And
he can do that easily.
Yeah. If you don't know what Maker Faire is, go to makerfaire.com. Look org. At the videos. Is it org? I always forget. Org.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. It's org. It's
yeah. Fine. And it's just an amazing experience. Last year, and I think they're going to be back again. Hey, there's Anton in the chat room. I was just going to mention those the Tesla coil rockers. Architect.
Architect,
I believe, is supposed to be back again this year. It was one of the highlights of my Maker Faire last year, was getting to stand in their Faraday cage during a performance and have tens of thousands of volts of electricity zapped all around me. It was really cool. And yeah, we should mention Anton Olson. Geek Dad Anton just popped into the chat room. He is out in Florida as we speak. He is at the Vex Robotics World Championships. And hope it is all going well. He said he is exhausted but having fun. And he will get to say hello to friend of Geek Mom and Geek Dad, Carrie Byron, who we learned today is emceeing the championships. Which is totally cool. And yeah, let's see. All right, so after Maker Faire, I think there's a little thing called San Diego Comic-Con.
There is a little thing called that, yeah.
And our own Mr. Blum here has the profound honor of being the MC, or the what's the title? The moderator.
Moderator
of the panel for Phineas and Ferb.
Yep, the official Disney panel on it. And possibly one or two other panels that I can't speak about yet because they're not definite. So
Got it. Data Rocks, the New York Auto Show, I believe, is Curtis going to that one? Is that the one Curtis is going to?
I think so.
I believe Curtis Silver will be at the New York Auto Show. I am not sure. We also have Geek Dad Dave G and Caspro is in the New York area, Data Rocks. He does a few things. Pay attention later in the year, usually the first weekend of December, there is a, actually Wired does a, what they call a holiday pop-up store in New York, and we have had Geek Dad days, usually on Saturdays in early December. I'm usually there for the first one in early December. And there's all sorts of stuff for kids to come in and do, so keep an eye out for that. But that's not in the near future, but pay attention for that. So after Comic-Con, we will have PAX Prime is coming, and we are very much looking forward to another geek parenting panel at PAX Prime. And I have a confirmation that on top of whatever Geek Dads and Geek Moms we can get out there, we will have Aisha and Rail Dornfest are going to join us for the Geek Dad panel. Aisha is she is a former Geek Dad, and she runs a very popular site called Parent Hacks. So she's a friend of Geek Dad. And then Rail, her husband, is like the guy in charge of everything you love and hate about Twitter. So he's like the user interface guy for Twitter. But they're also really cool people and geeky parents. And they're going to join us on the panel. So, woohoo. Anything else, guys? Matt, Jonathan, anything you can think of?
Oh, and was it August? Early August, after Comic-Con, is Gen Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which I know John Booth has confirmed he's going to be going. Michael and Natanya were still deciding, and I would love to go, although right now it's looking like I'll have to wait till next year. That's in Indianapolis, big board gaming convention. And
we should check with Kovalik on that.
Yeah.
The
PR guy from Gen Con had also talked about this thing called the Dungeon.
Did you check out that
link?
Oh, that looks so awesome. It looks
really awesome. It's a, it's basically like a D&D experience, except that instead of playing on a map on a table, you walk through an actual physical set.
Like D&D meets laser tag.
Yeah, yeah. And,
in a good way.
You don't really swing swords and stuff. Like, the combat is done with these little, like, sort of a shuffleboard type, dexterity game. But they also have, if you're a rogue and you're going to, open up this treasure chest, you have to do this sort of dexterity thing, which could result in you, I think, actually getting an electric shock if you fail. you know, and so it,
sign it, the waivers.
Really, like, yeah. You know, I was looking at some photos of the event, and it looks really, really, really cool. And it's gotten and on their bigger website, every year.
On their website, Will Wheaton makes it, so, you know.
Yeah, they have a thing with Will and Felicia were there. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole cast of the Guild went through it last year and apparently had a great time. So, you know, it's like, well, that's a geek PR win right there.
That's gigantic.
And apparently Gary Gygax had something good to say about that, too.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. So, yes, Curtis is definitely the guy going to the New York on a show. Yes. I knew I sent him money for something.
Not going to say this. It's too easy.
All right, guys. I think that's everything. That's everything that we can cram into one episode here, I think. So, yeah. Jonathan, Matt, any posts, anything cool stuff coming up in the near future, like tomorrow? Thursday.
Tomorrow or Thursday, I'm going to be doing a post giving away a couple of different pairs of Gunnars.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, they have a new thing they're doing at various Best Buy locations, little installations to have people to try them and then order them.
Okay.
And promote
that. Very good. Jonathan, anything coming up? Other than probably a half a dozen game or book reviews for tomorrow?
I've got a couple game reviews. I've got some interesting games to play first, and then I'll write about them. I was going to mention there's a series of comics that are comic adaptations of nonfiction books, such as Chris Anderson's The Long Tail.
You're really breaking up there.
Is another one? Sorry. Okay, got some interesting nonfiction comics. To
write
about, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, cool. I can't think of anything special I've got coming other than I'll write about the AT-AT for America. That's about it. I don't know. I gotta work. Oh, and I'll preview. We've got one more of these podcasts before it actually happens. But there's like a book coming out in a few weeks.
You're kind of breaking up for me, Ken. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I think we're... Oh, see, there it goes again. I got to remember to, like, turn off my syncing. I think that's what's going on. Although it's not using up any bandwidth. I hate... You know, and it's Skype, too, so you never know. Or it's Comcast has decided to, throttle us because we've been using too much bandwidth. But,
That's cool.
May 3rd, the Geek Dad Guide to Weekend Fun comes out at a now closing bookstore near you. And stop by geekdadbook.com or check the sidebar at geekdad.com, and there is a place to go pre-order it if you'd like to pre-order it, because pre-ordering is cool. It makes my publisher very happy. And it's got lots of cool stuff, including little nifty sections, little write-ups by somewhat famous geeks like Rod Roddenberry and Ken Jennings from Jeopardy and David Hewlett and Chris Anderson and people like that. So I'm really nervous about this one because, you know, the first one I was nervous about just because it was the first book I'd ever written. This one I'm nervous about because I really, really, I actually think it's even tighter and stronger. You guys... Matt, I know you've got stuff in there. It's mm-hmm. It's better than the first one, I think, just because I actually knew what I was doing a little bit more this time around. And I want it to do well because I really, really like it. So check it out, everyone. Other than that, I think I'm just going to say this has been the Geek Dads episode number 89. I'm Ken Denmead, editor of geekdad.com. Let's see. That guy right there is Jonathan Liu. What's your title, Jonathan? I forget. What's the title?
Pedant.
Senior editor, GeekDad.com. Matt Blum, the managing editor of GeekDad.com. Thanks, Matt, as always.
Welcome, and thank you, as always, for hosting.
Absolutely. And thanks to, who all's in the chat room? Jenny, of course. Anton showed up. Data Rocks, Introverted One, Mama Kathy, and everybody else who watched us live. And I'm very, very sorry we won't have a good video recording of this time around because Ustream was being a jerk. Thanks, everyone, and we will see you next time. So long.
Hey.
Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad.